Okay, sit and meditate for a while. Today is Songkran Day. It's an Indian New Year, and the Thais have adopted it as their New Year as well. It comes at this time of the year because this is when the sun enters the constellation of Aries, according to Indian astrology. It's time to look back, time to look forward. Every time you have a new year, it's good to reflect on what the past year has had. It's been like, what you've done, this, you've done well, what you haven't done so well. The people you've left behind, people who've gone on. You want to do good to make merit for them, dedicate it to them. Then you think about the future, the year to come. How are you going to find happiness in this year? In Thailand, they actually have four New Years. They've adopted the Western New Year, January 1st, Chinese New Year. There's an old Thai New Year, which is the new moon that just passed by, and now this new year. This is your last chance to enter a new year, the last bus of the night. So try to be determined on how you're going to make a good year out of this. The Buddha said, he noted soon after his awakening, that if people have nothing to respect, they live in misery. If they want to be happy, they have to have something to respect above and beyond their likes and dislikes, above and beyond their own opinions. You see this around us, people who think that they have nobody above them, or who take nothing but material things as their things they respect, power, the things they respect. They're miserable. And they make other people miserable as well. But you have something that you respect more than your defilements, then you have a guide in your life, and there's a sense of security, there's a sense of protection that comes with that. So the Buddha himself decided to take the Dhamma that he discovered as his object of respect, because there was no human being now. No divine being that he would respect, because no one else had attained awakening like he had. But still, he needed something to respect above and beyond himself. So he respected the Dharma. He says it's a good example for us. We take the Dharma as our guiding principle, as our governing principle. As the Buddha said, you reflect on the fact that here you've had this chance to find the Dharma, learn what's right, learn what's wrong, in clear, easy to practice ways, or they may not be easy sometimes, but they're possible to practice. You've got this guidance. It would be a shame if you threw it away. The fact that we're here means that we have some respect for the Buddha already. But he's recommending 100%. In other words, whenever your opinions go against the Dharma, you have to stop and ask yourself, why? What power do they have? What allure do they have? Sometimes it's as if there's a battle going on inside. The Dharma on one side, your defilements on the other. Well, what do the defilements want? They usually want quick happiness. But you have to remember, wisdom comes from looking for long-term happiness, which sometimes means short-term pain, as you do what needs to be done to provide for the long-term. You have to give yourself good reason so that you would want to stick with the long-term. So there's something you know that you like to do but will give maybe short-term happiness but long-term pain. You've got to learn how to talk yourself out of wanting to do it. If there's something that you don't like to do but will give you long-term happiness, you have to talk yourself into wanting to do it. Find some way to make the long-term attractive. Part of that is looking at the example of other people who go only for the short-term. Again, the misery they make for themselves, the misery they make for others. Whereas if you go for the long-term, you're looking at people who go for the long-term. They're the people who are like lights in the world. They light our way. They show that the human race is capable of good things. Without them, this would be a very dark world. So you can make yourself a light to yourself by developing qualities of virtue, concentration, discernment, or generosity, virtue, and goodwill. These things provide for happiness for a long term. When you're generous, you may be giving up material items, but you gain in the sense of the qualities of mind that you develop, the qualities of heart that you develop, and you realize those qualities of heart are more important. At the same time, you're giving more importance to the people who are receiving the item than you do to the item itself, which is proper. People are more important than things. Same with virtue. You're deciding that you're going to look for happiness in a way that it doesn't harm anybody. That's what's good about the Dharma. It provides us with a long-term happiness that causes no harm. That's something that really is worthy of respect, worthy of giving 100% devotion to. And finally, developing thoughts of goodwill. Realizing that if you want your happiness to be solid, you can't have ill will for anybody, because then you'd be tempted to say or do things that would cause them suffering. So for the sake of your own true happiness, you have to have goodwill all around. And it's a good state of mind to be in. It's a broad, open state of mind. It's not narrow and grasping. It's broad and wealthy. You have more than enough goodwill. You can create as much goodwill as you want. It's not like the money of the world, where the more you create, the less the value the money has. Here, the more you create, the more value it has. You can create it totally independently of what anybody else does. In other words, you have an independent source of goodness inside that you've nourished through the Dharma. And you see that this is why the Dharma is worthy of respect, because that source of goodness is true happiness. At the same time, it causes no harm to anybody. Look at the way most people look for happiness in the world, and many people are really irresponsible. They don't care what the consequences are for other people. Sometimes they don't even care about the long-term consequences for themselves. They just take what they want. This is what pulls the world down. But we have the opportunity, knowing the Dharma, practicing the Dharma, holding to the Dharma, we can light the world, show that the human race is capable of good things. Even we may not have much influence over other people, at least we have influence over ourselves, which is what's really important. This is what you're responsible for, what you do, what you say, what you think. You place all that in service of the Dharma, devote all of that to the Dharma. Then you lift yourself up to the level of the Dharma. You make yourself a person worthy of respect, worthy of emulation. You look around and you see nothing that would be any cause for feeling ashamed or feeling bad about yourself. That's a source of genuine happiness. I mean, the happiness that comes with sight, sound, smells, taste, tactile sensations. It's like junk food for the mind. The happiness that comes from your intentions, though, when your intentions are skillful, that's health food for the mind. Gives you strength, gives you inner wealth. All sorts of good things come when you hold to the Dharma as your object of veneration, as your object of respect. So make sure that it's 100%, because there are times when our defilements get the better of us and the Dharma seems to shrink. The protection it gives us shrinks. We, without saying it, as one of the jhanas used to say, Gile Sang Sanangachami, we take refuge in our defilements. And they offer no protection, there's no guarantee. But if you follow the Buddha, you're not going to go wrong. You take refuge in his teachings, you take refuge in the Dharma that he discovered. And you find that it protects you in all directions, as the phrase says from the canon. The Dharma protects those who practice it. If you practice it 10%, well, you get 10% protection. 100%, you get 100% protection. That's how we can go safely through this world.